Majinwa Awinj Nagalva, Agus Falchgaji, Galway Talks, Lum Hain, John Morley. We're with you right through until 12 o'clock. And coming up on the programme today, restaurant closing in Oranmore. We discussed that with the RAI Chief Executive. Researchers advance understanding of Parkinson's disease. There's a great ball happening, and some of the charities benefiting from that are Act for Meningitis and Eye for Life. University of Galway staff for Palestine Group and Student Palestine Solidarity Society Group to host a solidarity event this afternoon. We have the motoring slot. The Kane sisters come in for a live performance. Financial advice, Ask the Dentist, and History Talks. This time, the turn of the Burkes. We have Portumna Castle under the ice scope, and we also look at a new book. All that plus lots more coming up between now and 12 midday. Good morning. And a very good morning to you. Welcome into Galway Talks with me, John Morley. We're with you right through until 12 o'clock. If you want to get involved in the programme between now and then, you can do on our text and WhatsApp number. That's 086-3833-553. You can phone Siobhan in reception on 091-7700 and email comments at galwaybayfm.ie. The whole issue of restaurants closing, it's been under the eye scope since the government returned the VAT rate back up to 13% from the 9% that was afforded to them during the COVID-19 crisis. But the latest victim of this is a restaurant out in Oranmore, Burgos. It's a place I've been to many times myself. They announced the news in a Facebook post, and we're thinking of them this morning. With a heart full of gratitude and sadness, we're letting you know that Burgos will be closing for the last time on Sunday. It has been a very difficult decision to make. Rising costs from suppliers, VAT rates, energy costs, only to name a few, has led to it no longer being viable to operate our small business. We hope our government can soon wake up and realise that without support, little businesses like ours cannot continue to operate. We are only the tip of the iceberg. Without a doubt, the hardest part was letting our amazing team know. They have been incredible since we first opened our doors, and we can't thank them enough. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you to everyone who has supported us since we opened our doors. Your support has been very much appreciated, and we'll miss seeing you. Sometimes the success of a business is timing, and unfortunately, us, it wasn't our time. Much love, and that comes in from the team at Burgos, a place I've eaten many times myself, and it is disappointing for people in Oranmore and in Galway County more widely. To discuss this, though, I'm joined on the line by Adrian Cummins, who is the Chief Executive of the Restaurants Association of Ireland. Adrian, good morning.
Good morning, John.
It's a heartfelt post from the team in Burgos.
Yeah, and that's a business, and their livelihood now is gone, and they have to pick up the pieces after their business being closed due to what we would see is government policy in terms of increasing costs on our industry, from wage inflation to supplier costs to the VAT increase. And we've had 212 businesses like Burgos across the state in the last 3 months. And we're tracking this on a monthly basis. And when I look back to the depths of the recession during the financial crash, we had one a day. Now we have two a day currently in the country of restaurants, coffee shops, food-led businesses closing down because they're not able to make margin. And if you can't make margin, well, then you're a non-profitable business, so your business is going to close. And our ask to the government is, first of all, we need a face-to-face meeting with them. They need to acknowledge that there is an issue, and then they need to deliver in terms of a reduction in the VAT rate from 13.5% to 9%. And we got good soundings there when the new Taoiseach, Simon Harris, acknowledged that they would look at a reduction in the VAT rate. We need to make sure that all of government now take that on board and deliver for the hospitality sector.
Yeah, there was a notable absence of reference to it in Mr. McGrath's speech there at the Fianna Fáil Ardéis.
Yeah, well, Mr. McGrath is the Minister for Finance, and what we find is that Department of Finance, the officials in there seem to be, I think they're a bit out of touch exactly what's going on in small business in this country, not just in hospitality. It might be fine and dandy in government buildings and in the city centre in Dublin, but when you're down in Clarenbridge or Carna or Portumna or Kilmore or places like these in Galway, you know, there's businesses down on those streets, and they're finding it very difficult at the moment. And if we don't get that support, and for the food-led businesses, which we are highly labour-intensive, we need that VAT reduction in order for us to be a viable financial model. And everybody, you know, you don't have to be an economist to run the numbers on this. When you increase your VAT rate by 50%, the VAT man every 2 months needs his or her check. And what they, you know, what we're finding now is that these businesses just don't have the money to pay the VAT bill every 2 months. And the other thing I need to point out, John, is next month in May, you have the warehouse tax is due to the state that has been accumulated over the pandemic. That's all falling due now as well. So you're going to see more and more pressure on our sector over the next number of weeks and months ahead. So it's a perfect storm for our industry. We need a clear acknowledgement now from the government that there is an issue, and they need to deliver on what they've said in terms of words. We need to see action, not just words at the moment.
Like in Burgos' statement there, we had rising costs from suppliers, the VAT rate increasing back up, energy costs. That was just a few that they named that made their business no longer viable. But if we look at the rising costs, inflation, that it's starting to level out, energy costs are starting to stabilise. And government will point out that they have been very good to the hospitality sector, particularly during the COVID pandemic crisis and the inflation crisis as well. There has to come a time where they have to look at the exchequer and say, we have to focus on businesses that are viable. Do you accept that point from government?
Well, I accept that they helped every sector in the economy throughout the pandemic, and the hospitality sector got a little bit more because we were closed the longest. So we got what was rightly and fairly given due to us throughout the pandemic. But don't hold us forever and a day saying we supported you two years ago and we're not going to support you now. Yeah, the government is elected by the people, and you know, people, these small business holders, they're employers, and they're also, they have their own livelihoods, and these livelihoods are at stake. So let me just give you an example. If a business closes down, there's about 1.32 million to the economy in terms of wages, tax, commercial rates, water charges, and then the knock-on effect from suppliers. But like this narrative that we're hearing now, oh sure, this is all part and parcel of our industry. It's not. There are more hospitality or food-led businesses closing than they're opening. That's a fact. There are more businesses closing now than the height of the recession 10 years ago. And when a business closes down in regional and rural Galway, the likelihood of those staff in that local community of getting a job in that village or town, it's not, I don't think they will be able to get a job in that local town. They'll have to move to the next town. And what we are seeing now is the push-pull factor. Everybody needs to try and move into Galway to get a job. Or do we want the multinational chains to be the only ones to survive, and the small independent restaurant or coffee shop not to be the survivor into the future? So that's the question for the government. Do you want to really support small business hospitality, or do you not? And now we hear the words from the Taoiseach in terms of, and the Fine Gael party, who said that it was going to be, they passed a motion at their Ardesh in Galway that they supported a reduction in the VAT rate from 13.5%. We're saying very clearly, deliver on that now. Just let it not be just words, be action.
Because we do know there's an election coming down the line, and you are going to get promises from different parties and different independents and that. How much of that are your members listening to, Adrian Cummins?
Obviously, you know, the cut and thrust of a election debate, you will get the promises. But, you know, my job and the job of our association is to lobby on behalf of our industry. And over the last, you know, from 12 out of 13, the last 13 years, we've had a VAT rate of 9%. So we've delivered for our members. We want to deliver again. But if that increase is maintained, I will see more and more closures. So we are saying very clearly to our members, when the politicians come to our door, get a firm commitment from them that they will deliver on the VAT reduction and a bespoke support package for hospitality. Because, you know, we had a support package in terms of energy the year before last, 1.2 billion allocated. Only 170 million of that drawn down for all business. Sure, that was clearly designed to fail. And these are the things that we're saying to the government, you know, design a scheme that you actually deliver upon. Don't be spinning that we've allocated X amount of money and only one tenth of that is drawn down. We need a clear delivery and we need clear targets from the government that will and actually support small business in this country and especially our sector in hospitality.
In fairness to government, it's in their best interest. This is their tax base. So would it not be better to get 9% and keep as much business open as possible rather than keeping it at 13% and having businesses closing every day?
Absolutely. And that's the report that we... That's the main thrust of our report that we launched yesterday from Jim Power, the economist, was that, you know, there's 212 businesses closed in 3 months. It's 1.32 million per business on average, last the exchequer. Dial that up, that's 230 million. That's nearly, we're in 3 months, we've half of what the alleged cost of the exchequer is, the VAT reduction. So, like, give it another 6 months, we'll be at the key target, and then we're going into a deficit then for the government for the final 6 months of the year. So it's very, you know, we've put the facts on the table. You know, you look at the EU average across the country. 9 is the right rate for hospitality. So we're advocating for that.
But the government economists obviously don't agree with that if they're pursuing this policy.
Well, the government economists in Leinster House or government buildings in Dublin Four, I don't believe they understand that we may be at full employment. And the multinationals are the multinationals and they're very helpful to our economy. But small SMEs are also important for our economy as well. And if you want to see a deterioration in the high street in rural villages and towns across Galway and across the state, continue with the policy that you're doing. And what you'll have is you'll have the multinational brands being the only ones, the only survivors in regional and rural Ireland, and the independent coffee shop, the independent grocery, the independent restaurant, not being able to survive. And that's where we're going with this. So that's the choice that the government have. You either support indigenous small enterprise, and we are an indigenous economy. Support us, or you won't have that into the future.
Just some comments coming in, Adrian. Hi, John. I find it troubling when wage inflation is listed as the first barrier facing businesses closing down. Take burgers, for example. They identify their staff as being their most valuable asset. The issue isn't with bringing wages in line with other countries. It's more to do with warehouse tax debt, a lack of support from the energy support scheme, serious cash flow issues, the knock-on effects of the cost of living crisis, supply chain issues, as well as building overhead costs. And the restaurants got grants they never paid, says another listener. We got a PUP payment and had to pay that back. And another listener says, listening to the interview, RE Restaurants, being a tour operator here in the west of Ireland, it's getting so difficult to plan. You now enter a town with guests looking for lunch, and what was there last season is now closed. Some only opened on certain dates to try and work with the staff shortages, and more villages have no offering at all now. It is having a very negative effect on the overall tourist experience, not to mention the value of tourism to Ireland. It's getting more difficult annually to deliver a positive experience, and this seriously needs to be addressed, or it'll have a far wider effect than just restaurants. I suppose that's a valid point as well, Adrian, the wider knock-on effects of restaurants closing down.
Absolutely. Every tourist that comes into Galway has to eat, and it's important. And the other thing is, you know, unfortunately, over the last number of years, government policy has not identified the restaurant industry as being part of the tourism economy. I mean, that's a complete load of nonsense, and that needs to be corrected. We're a valuable asset to the tourism industry, and, you know, that tour operator hit the nail on the head. You know, if you're trying to bring tourists into a town and you have nowhere for them to eat, well, what are they going to do? They're going to the next town. So that local town is not going to get the downstream spend. So the little craft shop, the little activity centre, they're not going to get the spend in the local community because there's no support services there for them. And just on the warehouse tax, one of your listeners said about us getting grants, we have to pay all of that back. And the government were looking for an interest on top of it. Lucky enough, we lobbied for that to be got rid of. So there's about 280 million euros worth of tax due back, especially from the hospitality sector. And the vast majority of those are in the food-led businesses like coffee shops and restaurants.
Is that another point, though, as well, that in terms of, I know all you're asking for in terms of the supports and the VAT rate being increased, a decrease back down to that 9%, Adrian, but a whole of government approach. We see it in other areas, whether that be health or the disability sector, that different departments are, it's as if they're not communicating with each other. Is that something that needs to be streamlined here to help save both the hospitality and the tourism sector?
100%. I mean, how could you not have the pub and restaurant, let's call it subsector, not being part of the tourism portfolio or tourism remit? I mean, Fáilte Ireland have said to us that they don't have a remit for pubs and restaurants. That's disgraceful. I mean, that's government policy gone wrong. It's kind of, in my opinion, that has to be re-corrected. 5 years ago, we had a whole food tourism strategy for the country. Now we don't.
Why is that, though? Why don't we anymore?
Because the government have decided, no, we're not going to do a food tourism strategy, even though we're blue in the face asking for that. I mean, when you look at all of the number of employees working in, let's call it the tourism industry, 260,000 employees, over two-thirds of those are working in frontline food-led businesses, either waiter, waitresses, in coffee shops, restaurants, pubs that serve food, hotels as well, because there's a food element to that component. So, you know, we're an important part of the whole tourism industry, but not to be recognised as government policy in terms of its remit. I mean, that has to be recorrected. And I've sat in front of the Minister for Tourism, who said to me that she has no remit for our industry. I think that's the whole. When you look at what's wrong in the country, these little things should be corrected with immediate effect, because it's a very deflating scenario for small business owners when they're not even being recognised by the state in certain areas, and the value to the state that they have.
Now, it's anticipated that the budget will be coming this fall. Do you expect any olive branch on the VAT rate, for example, before the elections in June?
We're hearing a lot of noise. What we want to see is action. So what we're hearing from finance is nothing is going to be no mini budget. So I'm clearly focused now on in October. The unfortunate thing is how many more businesses will go to the wall between now and October. If it's an average of 70 a month or two a day, I mean, you know, the writing is not good for our industry in terms of the over the next number of months ahead. We're tracking this on a monthly basis on the terms of these businesses that are being liquidated. So we've got good quality data to present. And the sooner we get action, the better. Now, I know there is some sort of an interim measure coming down the tracks. They talk about a targeted approach. Let's see what that targeted approach is. And if it's not targeted, we'll be out in the airwaves again identifying what's wrong with the measures. But our main key focus is a reduction of the 9% VAT rate. If it takes us all the way to the budget, yes, it does. But we need action and delivery upon it.
Okay, Adrian Cummins, the Chief Executive of the Restaurants Association of Ireland. Thank you for joining us on Galway Talks.
Thanks, John.
Some of your comments coming in, get them into us on 086-3833-553. Phone Siobhan reception on 0917700077 and email comments at goibfm.ie. John, new restaurants opening in Athenry, two in the last few weeks alone. Another listener says the VAT threshold is too low at 40,000 compared to other countries. This listener says during the pandemic, a lot of those mobile coffee shops opened on main roads. I don't think they pay rates or water charges, nor do they have planning permission. COVID really suited them as people did not want to congregate at the time. I'm not too sure about that. I visited Tuam on St. Patrick's Day. We were looking for somewhere to have a meal. There was nowhere in the heart of the town open, and the lovely hotel they had is not serving either. It's such a shame, says this listener. And there's more coming in, and we'll try and get to more of them a little later on in the programme as well. But we're switching our focus to Parkinson's next.
Galway talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Find hundreds of used cars to suit your budget in Windsor Motor Mall Galway, located on the Monavea Road.
Good morning, you're listening to Galway Talks with me, John Morley. And did I say we're turning our attention to all the research that's advancing understanding of Parkinson's disease? I'm joined in studio by Professor Abbé Pandit, the Scientific Director of Corum and Project Lead on this. Professor, you're welcome on to Galway Talks. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks, John.
Talk to us about the research you're doing there. It's very pioneering and exciting, and it's a worldwide lead you're taking on this.
Yes, but it's a very exciting time for us because what we are trying to do is to understand how cells or tissues are surrounded by what we call sugars. I am a material scientist, so from my perspective, understanding that piece is so critical in defining or identifying new therapies that we can use.
Okay, and talk to us about the disease Parkinson's and how you're hoping to create these new therapies from this research.
Yeah. So over the world, about 10 million people suffer from Parkinson's, and in Ireland, it's about 15,000. Mm-hmm. So for us, and all the therapies right now for Parkinson's are associated with modulation of the disease, not so much disease targeting. In other words, the effects that we see from Parkinson's, how can we make better is what the current therapies do. We want to intervene.
Okay.
We want to make people better. So in that space, what we are trying to do is to understand the sugar pattern and how can we change the sugar pattern by modulation of disease.
Mm.
Not only in Parkinson's, but we are looking in other cases such as stroke. We are looking at MS. And other disease targets, even back pain is what we're looking at right now.
And you have a huge team working on this from right across the country.
Yes, we have, so Corum, I'm a scientific director of Corum. Corum is a Science Foundation Ireland funded research center. It's one of the largest in the world in the context of what we've been doing. Mm. We are very innovative in our approaches. We work with medical device industry, with clinicians, and with researchers across the globe and design therapies to take it to the patient.
And there's a lot of backing for you as well. I know that the EU are very supportive of this.
Yes, a third of our funding, in fact, more than a third of our funding comes from the EU itself. A third comes from the industry and a third from the Irish government. So in other words, two thirds of the funding comes from non-exchequer sources.
What's the most interesting or revolutionary research finding you've got during your time working on this in terms of the molecular signature of Parkinson's disease? What breakthroughs have you made so far?
Well, the breakthrough is now we know what the signature is. So once we know that a particular sugar is expressed in the tissues, then now we can design therapies to modulate that piece. So this is the first time in the world it's happened that we have the whole Parkinsonian, what I call a Parkinsonian brain, and different stages of disease have been stratified.
Mm.
So we've taken human samples, characterized them, worked with experts in characterization in Vienna and in the United States in South Carolina, and then looked and brought all that data together and made this happen.
And this work is of such a prestige that it's been published in the PNAS Nexus journal as well.
Yes, it's the proceeding for the National Academy of Sciences. It's one of the top journals in the field. So it's I have to say, it's a recognition for the work that we do, that PNAS has recognized what we do. So yes, so we're delighted by that. It puts Ireland in the forefront in technologies and in the medtech space.
And are you solely focused on the research side of this, or will you be taking part in the actual developing of the new technologies as well?
Absolutely. I mean, you're absolutely dead right. I mean, so our basic science that we have done now allows us to come up with therapies that we want. So what we want to do is to create a gel, create an implant that can modulate this sugar signature and bring and target the cells which are diseased. Yes.
It sounds a bit like, and forgive me if I'm totally wrong on this, it sounds a bit like the treatment for diabetes or similar diseases like that, the type of technologies you're using there.
Yeah. I mean, diabetes would be with different kinds of cells, yes, but here we are not trying to replace the cells. In diabetes, you would replace the cells that are called islet cells.
Yeah.
These are not islet cells. These will be, we are trying to modulate just by, the way I would describe it is you're creating a new environment.
Okay.
The cells will remain the same, but we're creating a new environment for the cells to survive better.
And is that by putting a certain product or liquid into the body?
A gel. Like a toothpaste.
Okay.
It'll be like a toothpaste that we can do, we can design.
And is the contents of that gel top secret?
I'll let you know, John.
But this must be very rewarding work for you, because you mentioned so many people across the globe suffer from Parkinson's. It is a very debilitating condition. How far into the future is this technology from coming on the open market for people to avail of here in Ireland and across the world?
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good question. And it will take time, mainly because of the regulatory space that we're in, because it will be classified as a drug. So we will have to go through the processes. Mm. So I would say if we start, it'd be about 15 to 20 years away at least.
15 to 20 years. And could, so you said because it's a drug, it'll take that long. If it was a treatment, could it have been sped up a bit faster than that? Or?
Well, we'll have to find a way through the regulatory agencies. Ultimately, it's not about the treatment that's there. We'll have to go through clinical trials to make sure it's safe enough.
I know, yeah.
So it's what we are faced with, yes.
It's amazing though, because the world regulators, they were very quick to act in terms of the COVID vaccine.
Yes.
So it'd be nice if something like that could be done for people suffering from Parkinson's as
yes.
well.
You're absolutely right. So what we'll probably try and do is to find similar diseases like Parkinson's, which are very, very rare.
Mm.
And then there's a fast track process for
okay.
thereof. So that may facilitate that. So
have you had any luck on that front yet?
Well, we talk with regulators quite a bit. And we are trying to convince them that, I mean, I am on the advisory board for the EU Medical Device Regulatory Board. So yes, we are trying to influence them to say that these are safer therapies and these could be tried out. Yes.
Does that work? Does that take you over to Europe a good bit for meetings and different conferences?
Well, yes, you have to, right? But in the world of post-COVID, you can do a lot of things online too.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Yes, absolutely, yes.
I'm speaking with Professor Abbe Pandit, the Scientific Director of Coram and Project Lead on this research into Parkinson's disease. Talk to us about your work to date and how, I suppose, how revolutionary is this for you and how much of an honor is this for you and how exciting is this for you in terms of your career to date?
Oh, I mean, I'm really excited about it. I mean, my career is, I mean, I'm 58, so it's not like I have a lot to go ahead with. But what I'm in, from a research point of view, this is one of the biggest breakthroughs we've had. The reason being, a lot of my work has been in the translational space. So in other words, I've been taking the findings of all the basic research and trying to apply it. But this is the first time we've actually taken a leap of faith into something that is completely unknown and figure out this is what we need to do. And then from our lab, we will develop technologies from what we found out at a very, very basic level. So it's really a breakthrough for us to make that happen. We also have different therapies which are much more further along in the area of cardiac repair, for example.
So we have
a fairly large EU project where we see that therapy coming out in 5 years. So that journey started 10 years ago.
Yeah, no, it's great. And it's great to see that here in Galway, we're at the forefront of this worldwide breakthrough.
Yes, absolutely. We are one of the top people in the world, yes.
Professor Abbe Pandit, the Scientific Director of Coram and Project Lead on this research into Parkinson's. Thank you for joining us on Galway Talks. What's your reaction to that? Get it into us right now on 086-3833-553. That is our text and WhatsApp number. You can phone Siobhan reception on 091-770-077 and email comments@galwaybayfm.ie. Some comments coming in on our previous guest, Adrian Cummins, the Chief Executive of the RAI. Yes, two restaurants opened in Athenry in the last few weeks. We now have an Indian and Chinese and Asian restaurant in the middle of the town. And there's still nowhere at night to get dinner in the town. And looking elsewhere in relation to food available to tourists and locals, it's much to be noted that most shops have delis and sit-down areas and also serve very good food, reasonably priced. This industry seems to have grown a lot in the last number of years, which must have affected turnover in the traditional restaurant industry. That comes in from Donald to the programme. We're moving on now and we're looking at the Cathaoirleach Awards next.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Visit Windsor Motor Mall Galway on the Monavay Road. A new way to car shop.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back into Galway Talks. I'm delighted to say I'm joined in the studio by the Cathaoirleach of the County, Liam Carroll. We have Siobhan Carroll from Act for Meningitis and Maura Moran of Eye for Life. You're all welcome onto the programme today. And Cathaoirleach, Liam Carroll, I'll start with you. The Cathaoirleach's Gala Ball is going to shine a spotlight on local charities, and there's not much time left until the awards get underway on the 16th.
There's not. We've about a month left, John. I'm very, very excited about the awards, but I'm about the Gala Ball, and I'm also very excited about the Community Awards, which we'll be presenting that night as well. We have 10 different awards. We actually have 10 normally, but we have 11 this year, in that I have decided on two special recognition awards. One in memory of the late Saoirse Ruan, and one in memory of the late Martin Horgan, both of whom did magnificent work in their communities. Both of them lived life to the full, but it was too short for both of them. And I've been on to the families of both Saoirse and Martin, and they're thrilled that we're honouring their memory.
And will they be present at the
They will be present on the night. Yeah, it plans to be a great night of celebration and memory of people who have made huge contributions to the community all over Galway and further afield.
And in terms of the ball itself and the awards, the closing date, has it passed and all that? And
The closing date for the awards has passed since Tuesday, and there's an adjudicating committee now sifting through all of the nominations for the two special awards. I have decided on those two.
Okay.
As Cathaoirleach.
And was there a big uptake for the awards?
Yeah, we're very, very fortunate in Galway County that we have a huge number of people involved in volunteering in the community. And without them, this community or this county would be a very much poorer place to live in. So we recognise through the awards the absolutely excellent work being done by communities all over the county.
Now, tickets for it, it hasn't sold out yet, has it?
No.
So tickets for it are priced at €75.
They're priced at €80.
Pardon me. And they're available at Eventbrite for this as well. And the two beneficiaries, just talk to us about the two charities and why they've been selected, Act for Meningitis and Eye for Life.
I've known Siobhan Carroll for about 25 years. I think that's about right, Siobhan, isn't it? And Siobhan is a native of Oranmore, lives in Oranmore, and her daughter, who died 16 years ago, that was a very sad occasion for Siobhan. I know she still feels it. Being a local charity and promoting promoting meningitis, I felt that was a very good one. Eye for Life is another excellent charity based out of Headford, and set up by Maura Moran, and my wife Alison has been involved as a volunteer with that organisation. I've looked at what they do. They do magnificent work in Zambia and in other African countries, and I would like to support them as well. So I think they're two excellent charities doing magnificent work. And just when we put the two of them together, John, there's a huge avenue open now for the two charities for collaboration between one another. So that's been a great outcome before we even recognise the charities at the Gala Ball. So and they will be talking to one another. And I let Siobhan and I let Maura explain their charities to you.
And just before I do, what are you hoping to raise for the two charities?
As much as we possibly can, but it'll be in five figures.
Wow. Okay. That'll be a huge boost. We're going to go now to Siobhan Carroll from Act for Meningitis. Siobhan, you're welcome onto the programme today.
Thanks, John.
It's close to your heart, Siobhan. Take us back to when you lost
Ava
to meningitis.
Yeah, Ava's 16 years gone now, but at the time she was 4, and she was at home with her dad, Noel, and Evan, who was 2 at the time, and I was pregnant, and I was kept in the hospital in Galway for the night. And I talked to her at 9 o'clock that night and told her I loved her and Evan, and I'd see them the next day. And a few hours later, Noel rang me to say that Ava was sick, and she wasn't usually like this when she was sick. And he rang the out-of-hours service, and they said, there is a bug going around, keep an eye on her. check to see if the lights are bothering her or if there's a rash. And she didn't really, she had none of those symptoms. And a few hours later, he rang me to say, Ava's really sick and the ambulance is on the way. And I ran down to the front door of the hospital in Galway. And I remember standing in the pitch dark and there was nobody around and it was really quiet and I heard an ambulance in the distance. And I remember thinking, God, someone's really sick. That ambulance is in a big hurry. Never for one second thinking that when the ambulance pulled up, Noel jumped out and he just looked at me and said, it's not good. And what had happened at home was really Ava had been lying in his arms and basically just closed her eyes. And they tried to resuscitate her in the hospital in Galway, but she was gone within 6 hours of being sick. We'd lost her to meningitis. And 4 weeks later, Noah came along and Sophie came the year after. And, you know, really changed our lives. And, you know, people say the hardest thing is to lose somebody, but I think the hardest thing is trying to pick yourself up and live your life without them in it. Mm. And so we wanted to try and stop another family going through what we went through. So create awareness and offer support to people. So I set up Act for Meningitis, which actually is the Ava Carroll Trust. We want people to act if they suspect meningitis. So that's where the charity began. So we're Ireland's only meningitis support and awareness charity. Mm. And we are aiming to create awareness around the country and offer free support to anybody who's been affected by meningitis in Ireland. And that's where we are now today. And we're absolutely honoured to be a part of Cathaoirleach Liam Carroll's ball to reach more people with the work that we're trying to do.
I think it's lovely what you've done in a very desperately, personally sad situation for yourselves that you've looked outwards and looked to help other people. I think it's to be commended. We were only in Ballygar recently and there's a fundraiser there, Shine Them Up for Shamey, which is proceeds go to
we're one
your,
of the charities, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, so it's nice that you're helping other people out of personal despair.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, through the work that we're doing, I know through our awareness we have saved lives. And that's the most important thing, that there's people out there that don't have to go through what we went through and be in the journey and pain and loss that we've been through, and that people don't feel alone if they've been impacted by meningitis. Mm. And that's the most important thing.
We're also joined by Maura from Eye for Life, Maura Moore indeed. Maura, good morning. Talk to us about Eye for Life and the work you're doing.
Morning, John, and thanks so much. It's great to be here. So my background is in public health and I'm a health professional for over 30 years. And as a young health professional, I worked in Somalia and Rwanda during the genocide and the desperate famine there. And I worked with an organisation called Concern, and we could see the impact that an organisation can make in a community that is going through conflict and famine. And that was set the seeds for the organisation Eye for Life. So I approached like-minded health professionals in Galway in 2009, and they came on board with the organisation with the objective of offering our expertise to our health professional colleagues in low and middle income countries such as Zambia, and also learning from them, and thus strengthening health systems between Ireland and countries like Zambia. So since 2011, we have been working in Zambia consistently, where we offer supportive primary healthcare. We run a primary healthcare centre in a large, sprawling township, which has just currently come out of an epidemic of cholera and has COVID, food insecurity, in emergency now, a situation with famine. And we support that primary healthcare centre. It offers services for children under five, child development, HIV services, all primary healthcare services. And we also offer our expertise to an organisation in Uganda, and we have been to Liberia and other countries as well.
It's basic work you're doing there on the ground, but vital.
Yes, it's very much a community roots organisation. We offer our support and expertise to our health professional colleagues, and as a result of that, the education and the effects of that support and expertise, and again here in Ireland, the effects of health professionals learning from their Zambian colleagues in areas such as breastfeeding, improving breastfeeding rates, nutrition, child nutrition, malnutrition, has all been hugely beneficial and has shown, you know, this model of equality, diversity, inclusion, that it's about sharing our knowledge and from global south and north.
Yeah. Two very worthy causes, Cathaoirleach, Liam Carroll, and it should be a great night for all involved. Just talk to us about the lineup of events on the night.
Yeah, I think it should be a great night, John. And I'm delighted to have these two trailblazers sitting on my left and on my right, who have done magnificent work for communities, as they've just told you. It's going to be a very exciting night. We have the Clare Galway Community Choir to entertain us at the very start. We have the Lou Tunes, who will be playing for music and dancing after. We have Aidan Tierney, who will be doing impressions of Micheál Mórchertig and Joe Brawley and all the various...
he does a good Jerry Murphy as
he
well,
he does a
I'm
good
told.
Jerry Murphy as well. And I think when he gets your voice, he'll probably replicate that as well, John. We have the one and only Ollie Turner as our MC on the night. So it promises to be a great night of entertainment, of fun, of celebration, and of memory for the two special recognition award recipients who've done great work as well. So I'm very excited about it. I know that my two friends here are very excited about it as well. And it's all systems go for the 16th of May.
Brilliant. We wish you all the best luck with it. And people can get details and tickets on Eventbrite as well. Cathaoirleach, Liam Carroll and Siobhan Carroll. And also more and more. And thank you all for joining us on Galway Talks. We're back after news.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Drive happy in Windsor Motor Mall, Galway. With hundreds of used cars to suit your budget.